Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Clayton John Angier. He is author of The Ego's Code. From once being a mergers and acquisitions tax specialist, Clayton is now a sought-after consultant and speaker working in the UK and internationally, where he helps senior leaders and executive teams to transform performance and achieve sustainable growth by unleashing passion, nurturing natural talent, and bringing vitality to the workforce. Based in the UK, Clayton is also an internationally recognized psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and spiritual coach. He works with people from all walks of life all over the world and hosts workshops in the UK, US, Australia, New Zealand, Russia, Denmark, Switzerland, and Germany. Clayton is also a six-time award-winning author of The Ego's Code, an international speaker and creative entrepreneur. During a meditation at Stonehenge, he received clear and detailed guidance about why we experience negativity, the true purpose of the ego, and how to be free of it. He found that there is a pattern to our negativity, which he calls the ego's code, and he discovered the way to decipher it, clear out negativity, remove unhelpful habits, change old belief patterns, and restore the soul so that you can live in your truth in a life of fun, play, happiness, and fulfillment. For more information, you can visit Clayton's website, which is www.claytonjohnangier.com, and that's claytonjohnangier.com. And I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Clayton to the show. Good day, sir.
Good day, and how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you. And how are you this evening?
I am absolutely fabulous, thank you.
Very good. Thank you, as am I. Anytime I can help my listeners work with some negativity patterns and kind of erasing them, I'm all for that. I even have a few of mine that I'll go ahead and work on today, too. So, goodness. Well, first of all, I think I did give a little bit of introduction as to what you are doing now currently, but if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners just a little bit about your journey and how it is that you got to the point of doing what you are right now.
Okay, absolutely. Well, it's been a roller coaster of a journey, I would say, over the last 15 years. I used to be an accountant and tax consultant, specializing in mergers and acquisitions, and spent 10 years in the professions doing something that I absolutely hated. And then on a daily basis, I was experiencing lots of pain and anguish about doing that kind of thing. And then everything sort of came to a bit of a climax about 12 years ago, when I realized how unhappy I was. I had been depressed twice in my life, and I thought, this just is crazy. I'm doing a job that I don't like. I'm hard on, I was nearly 200 pounds in weight. I was nearly $200,000 in debt. And I thought, there is just something crazy that's actually going on in my life right now. And so literally everything, it was almost like the divine took over and said, okay, we are going to take you to a climactic point in your life where we're going to turn everything upside down, and we're going to get you to actually pause and really reflect on what it is that you want most out of your life. And I realized that there was a lot of unhappiness around, there's a lot of pain around, there was a lot of hurt that was going on, not only within myself, but actually from my own behaviors in terms of how they were rippling out into my life. And so I stopped everything. I literally, I went through a divorce. The only thing that really kept me sane was at the time my daughter, who was 18 months old, and I remember sitting down before I walked away from the marriage, and I said, it's just absolutely the right thing to do. And I sat down, I meditated, I connected in, and the message that actually came through was, if I stay, your daughter will never experience her father's love. And so I left. And my daughter is about to turn 14 this year. We have the most amazing relationship. She kicks my butt on a daily basis, which is always good. And so, you know, and so I went on this journey. And then 18 months later, and just fast forwarding, I met my twin flame soulmate, Lindsay, my beautiful wife. And she was really the catalyst for everything. You know, she really encouraged me to take my psychic readings out into the world. She encouraged me to be more, you know, who I am spiritually. She encouraged me to just basically just step up and to not be afraid and to embrace the fear. And it was really interesting because it was at this point that I woke up one morning and was told by my guides to go to Stonehenge. And so I got in a car and I drove about an hour and a half to Stonehenge. And I sat in the circle of Stonehenge in the stones and in meditation and literally just had the words come through the ego teacher. And then I spent the next year or so meditating on that, working with that, the concept that the ego is a teacher, and actually the reasons that we experience negativity is that there is a pattern to the negativity. And when I reflected on my own life, I realized that having been depressed twice in my life, having sabotaged nearly every area of my life, my health, my well-being, my business, finances, relationships, I thought, you know, there's got to be a reason that we do this kind of thing to ourselves. And so I went on a journey and actually discovered that wherever there is a problem, a challenge, a rut in our life, is because we're actually not honoring or living our truth. But actually, there is, and also there is a meaning to our negativity. And when we can actually understand that meaning, we can start to decipher the code, which is why I call it the ego's code. We can actually use negativity as a fuel for change and a fuel for success, as opposed to something that keeps us stuck or stuck in the past or hindering our progress moving forward. So it's been a journey. It continues to be a journey because as I become more and more and more aligned to where I want to take my work, you know, the triggers get more and more potent. And but now I've got, you know, the skills. I use all my own work to make sure that I stay on point, stay on track, and support myself, my family, and obviously all those people that I work with. So that's a bit of a whirlwind tour. It's you know, I when I look back, I wouldn't change anything. You know,
yeah.
I think just one.
Well, that's the one thing.
Sorry, go on.
I'm sorry, I didn't say that. That was the one thing that I noticed. You know, in the beginning of your book, you kind of talk about you know, recognizing all of the negativity and the challenges and all that kind of thing. You know, that you would not change that. You know, and you know, I know. You know, for me, you know, there have been those situations where it's like, well, you know, if I had known then what I know now, would I have done the same, you know? But, you know, I quickly recognize that, you know, even though there may have been a struggle during a particular period or during a particular, you know, project or incident or that kind of, but regardless of that, you know, something positive came out of that. I mean, even if it was just clarity of purpose for me, you know, then that seemed to be, you know, so many times we learn, you know, about what we want or what we should be doing by the negative, by, you know, experiencing what we don't want.
Exactly. And, you know, when I say that I wouldn't change a thing, I think just to add to that, I wish I had got to the lessons quicker. There were a number of times where I sat immersed in the negativity when I didn't need to. And what I do now and what I teach people is to actually be the observer in our own world and to recognize the patterns that are actually showing up, because we can either get the pattern, you know, very early on in life, or we can get the pattern, you know, I'm in my 40s now. So, you know, and as I look back over my life, there are indicators or feedback that comes back from the environments around us. There's feedback that comes back from within us that's almost sometimes screaming at us to say, look, you know, please pay attention. It doesn't have to get to the point where we have disease in the body or a business collapses or a relationship collapses. We can make the changes ahead of time, but we have to have the courage to do that. But also we have to be able to recognize the messages that are within the negativity. But the challenge is that we've been conditioned by society to ignore it, to stuff it down, to sweep it under the carpet, that it's a bad thing, or, you know, that we shouldn't listen to it because, you know, the ego is evil, and all these different conditions and messages that we've had, which actually are not true. And I'm seeing the results come through now. When I run my events, we're actually now testing things like blood and seeing the changes actually involved in the blood immediately. You know, when people actually are acknowledging the negativity, we've got people losing weight on our events because, you know, negativity weighs heavy. But at the end of the day, it's just energy, and all energy can be released. It can be transmuted into something that will serve us. But we just, you know, it's about, you know, it's a bit of a paradigm shift that people need to take in terms of, you know, embracing it and actually going through it, as opposed to avoiding it and dancing away from it. Because if we avoid it, it will just come back harder, to the point where we will actually, you know, pause, or we get hurt, or we actually say, okay, I need to do something about this now. And I've seen that many, many times in my own life in the past.
Yeah, that 2x4 across the head sometimes when you haven't gotten it. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm here. But, you know, one of the things that I found real interesting, now I often tell anybody that I had some of the best training in negativity a child could have. One of my mother was, she was truly the most negative person that I've ever known. Now, you know, this is one of those things where going through that, I wasn't real pleased with it. You know, there were a lot of challenging times because of it. But, you know, what it did is it provided me a lifelong purpose of overcoming reshaping those thoughts. But one of the things that I found interesting with your book and talking about the ego's code is the pattern aspect of negativity, you know, and in recognizing the pattern. Because so often we really don't, sometimes the negativity seems like it's not connected to anything, or that it's, you know, it's sporadic, or that it's just singular, and it's, you know, I mean, multiple times, but it's singular, and it's, but there's no pattern behind it. So I think what was interesting, most interesting, is the idea of a negativity pattern.
Yeah, And it's really interesting. I agree with you. And it took me a while in some areas to actually start to identify the pattern. But let me give you a couple of examples. So the first thing is when we experience negativity in any form of negativity, what's actually happening is we are experiencing echoes or whispers from our past. And we're actually then reliving that situation in the here and the now. And what happens is that because lots of people will say, well, you have to be present. Yeah, okay, if you are present, if you're truly present in the here and the now, and even if you, for example, making yourself a glass of wine and you are you're there with the glass and you're pouring, you know, the red wine into the glass and you start to smell the ambiance of the red wine, or you're making yourself a cup of tea. If you're truly, truly present, no negativity is present. There is like a stillness that's there. But the second mm-hmm. that anything that creeps into the mind, then what happens is, whether it be self-talk, you know, I'm not worthy, I can't do that, or I don't have enough money, or I can't be loved. What's happening is there is a trigger that's taking back. You're being triggered back to the past, and you're reliving that in the here and the now. So you can't be present. And I noticed that from my own life. So one of my biggest challenges that I've had in my life is around worthiness, around wealth. And a lot of people in the world say, well, you know, I'd love to have more money. Well, if I have more money, I could think positively about that. If I think positively about that, then actually I might be able to create more money in my life. But positivity and positive thinking actually doesn't work, because what actually is, if I'm sending out a thought that actually I want to have more money, there's a thread that goes underneath that. It's like almost like a psychological divine message that says, I mean, that's lack-driven, that I'm not worthy of that. And then the underlying feelings that go with that really are, I'm not worthy of that. So I actually attract back the same thing that happens over and again. And so I noticed that I would experience massive fear and then anxiety when I was growing my businesses over the years. And so I remember years ago when we first started, so our consultancy business, you know, we've been going about 10 years now. And when we first started, I remember charging myself out at something like $250 a day and experiencing extreme anxiety around that. Is someone going to pay me $250? And then I would notice that and say, okay, so I need to effectively change my energy around that. And, you know, and as soon as somebody paid me $250, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, great, I'm worth of that. And then when somebody said, well, you need to put your fees up, every time I put my fees up by $250, even up to like now when I charge myself out of $5,000 a day, and if I'm even, we're dealing with big, big contracts. So we're just working with a big contract with British Telecom in the UK. And I noticed that I get these little nuances that come up, these old patterns that come up, but they're now tiny, whereas in the past, there would almost be like a bit of a smash, that 2x4 across the head. And I would also notice in my body that, so anything, my body will tell me 2 weeks in advance if I've got anything that's about to come up around money, around wealth, around worthiness. And I experience a pain in the lower left-hand part of my back. And it's the same place every single time. And so I'm now, by observing what's going on, I can start to identify where those patterns actually start to show up ahead of time, so I can actually do something about it. And it's just that the biggest thing around this is about acknowledging it. You know, once some of you will say, oh, just sweep it away. But it's the most powerful thing that you can do, very, very quick process. First of all, raise your awareness to it. Okay, so the second you raise your awareness to it and you acknowledge it at the same time, and you say, you know what, I'm experiencing fear right now. Then what that does is it accounts for that feeling. And that feeling then brings you from the past into the here and the now. And then all of a sudden you're present with that fear because you're then observing it. And then what happens is that puts you in a really powerful position in terms of acting on that. And then you can choose whether you want to react or whether you want to respond to that. And it's a very simple process. So raise your awareness, acknowledge it, and then act on it in a way for your highest good. And I talk a lot about that in my book, about how we can do that. And there's lots of different exercises and things like that to raise people's awareness to their patterns. But there is a pattern to everything associated with negativity, everything. You know, I have a different pattern that I run around love. And it's very, very, very interesting, the differences that actually show up around love. And my pattern around love is abandonment. So which I'm being finally got to the point of where I'm at that point of clearing and cleansing around it. And I'm having this most, I have this most amazing relationship with my wife, and I have done, you know, we're about to have our 9th year of our wedding ceremony. We've been married 9 years this August, together nearly 12 years. And every now and again, these little nuances come up around me, around worthiness, around love. And so, but there is a pattern to everything. But what in the past, it would almost, the 2x4 across the head, I would stop in my tracks and everything else around me would sabotage and collapse. Now, because of the levels of awareness I've had, I'm able to change my feelings in the moment. I'm able to actually understand why it's happening, and therefore I'm actually able to use it as a force for good and a fuel for success, as opposed to something that gets in the way. Hopefully in a little bit I'll tell you where it comes from.
Well, now if someone is mired in negativity, so mm-hmm. I can see where we all have negative thoughts, and we all have periods where, yeah, you know, there are more negative thoughts than not. But I know some people who just, I mean, they seem to be, you know, stuck, I guess, you know. But to me, it seems that it's even more than that. I mean, it's a, you know, to try and help them raise their awareness to, you know, a pattern. I mean, it's like their life is this pattern, you know. So for someone who is like right out there right now listening, who is just, you know, feels that everything in their life is negative. I mean, you know, that is simply it. What would be the first step? Is it recognizing maybe a pattern in a particular area and start with one area?
No, what I would do, in all honesty, is I would recognize that I have, actually, let me answer it like this. The reason that people experience any form of negativity is because it's somewhere in their life, whether it be in their current lifetime or past life, they have experienced trauma. And what happens is when they experience a trauma, it creates a tear in the soul. And part of the soul leaves and goes to a place in the consciousness where it feels safe. And the first point is this, is that when we experience any form of negativity, what happens is this, is it's a message from you to you that something is not quite right or how it should be. And the most important thing that you can do in that position is acknowledge that something in your life is not right or how you think it should be. And there may be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 areas or more. And if somebody is immersed in extreme amounts of negativity, I talk about in my book the spiral effect. And what can happen is, mm-hmm. when people are reliving, and I remember myself many years ago, 20 years ago, I was in that situation, and there was nothing that could happen. There was nothing anybody could tell me, nothing anybody could do for me, because mm-hmm. it was constant. The negative thoughts were coming up, the feelings were coming up constant. And in my book, I talk about falling through the center of the spiral. When that happens, the most important thing to do is to acknowledge that you need help and that you need some support. And the second thing is to get yourself some support, whether that be through working with someone like myself, one-to-one, whether that be through, you know, getting yourself a therapist. You know, I have an amazing therapist. Even all of this work that I do, and I take great care of myself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, every week I still go and see and sit down with my therapist, because there are things that I don't see. It is not possible for us to see our own unconscious. And so that's why the negativity comes up, because the negativity is coming up. It's a communication from your unconscious, say there's something you need to notice. And so the most important thing I would say to someone, if someone's really immersed in it, is to say, you know what, I need some help. That's a raising your awareness to it. That's accounting for it, and that's bringing you into the here and the now. And then giving yourself permission to receive help. And there are some great therapists out there. There are some great counselors out there. There are some great people out there who will work with you and help you to get to where you need to get to. Or, you know, I would happily work with you. I work with people all over the world on their journey. You know, I worked with one chap. In fact, we're going back a few years now. He's got his own business now, actually doing something very similar to what I do, because he had OCD, really, really bad mm-hmm. OCD. He had kept on so many repeating patterns that were going all over the place. He was sabotaging himself in every single area of his life. he was telling himself all these different negative stories, and I mean, it was constant. And what we did is we just, and we, there was a process that we went through. We unraveled each one. He worked with me. He also worked with somebody else. We worked in tandem with his therapist at the same time. So we all knew where we were taking care of him. And he is now literally, he's a great speaker. He's a great teacher. He's a great trainer. And he uses, he's developed his own process as well off the back of that. So again, it's about acknowledging and accounting for your own, for yourself, for one of the better description.
Okay. Well, there are a couple aspects to what you do, and in a different, in what you kind of components of your book that I think are unique, and my listeners would be completely enthralled to hear about it. First of all, recognizing that you also are a psychic medium. So, when I started my show, I know many intuitive people and mediums, and it's like my wheelhouse. It started off, you know, before I got into more of the self-help stuff. But for you, how did that all come about? When did you recognize it? Just tell us a little bit about your experience and how you maybe incorporate that into your work.
Okay. Yeah.
Or is that just like a separate component?
No,
you compartmentalize.
I can compartmentalize it if I needed to, but it's a real gift that everybody has, but I have spent 20 years mastering it. I remember at the age of 7, I used to get visited, but I want to say what I would say by spirits now or guides, and they would literally sit, and I could see them like I would be seeing my daughter in the room, and I would sit and I would talk to them, and then it got a little bit scary to the point where I said, I'm done. And I remember physically closing down for want of a better description, the gift that's there, physically closing down everything. I didn't have any interaction around anything for about 20 years. And then all of a sudden, it all literally switched back on. And I remember I was sat watching the news on the TV, and I was looking at myself through the eyes of the newsreader, and then I was sat in the lounge, and I knew exactly what the newsreader was about to say, and I could see the newsreader's guides around the newsreader. I could see my guides around me, and I thought, okay, this is really interesting. And I gathered and I realized that everything has switched back on. Because I would walk down the street, and I would connect with people, and I would be able to tell them things that they would say, how did you know that? Or somebody would give me a piece of jewelry, and I would be able to tell them, you know, the story of their sort of relationships and things like that. And they say, how do you know that? And anyway, I gathered that I had this gift. And so I started to do very basic readings. And when I say basic readings, I'd work with, never with tarot cards, but more with like angel cards and things like Doreen Virtue's angel cards and things like that. And then through meditation, because I meditate every day, I had my own process of reading that would actually come through. And so and it's called a higher self reading. So everybody has a divine higher self and a divine ego self. And the ego self holds the lessons that we need to learn, and the higher self holds the answers to those lessons. And so when I sit and so somebody could be with you in the US, or somebody could be in Australia, or somebody, you know, could be over in Denmark, and I can literally sit down and tune into your divine higher self, your divine ego self. And I literally, when I'm preparing, I prepare for every reading. 30 minutes before every reading, I would literally just write. And it's like, people talk about automatic writing. It's like automatic writing. I just get this complete download of images, pictures, guides, messages to share. And I absolutely trust everything that I'm given. And I share everything that's given. And then I also read the runes. So my challenge sometimes with readers is, and I've experienced this myself, which is why I find it a challenge, is that there are some very lazy readers out in the world, and they will say, okay, well, I'm reading for Clayton John Angel. There's a lot of information about him on the internet. I'll go on and find out who he is. I don't do that. I literally, the first time I'm on it, sometimes I will meet someone. I never meet them face to face. When I read for them, there's no cameras on. I want to stay connected to their divine self rather than their beautiful physical self. And so everybody, when they come on a reading, they want to have something to go away with. They want actions to go away with. Say, okay, I've had this nice fluffy reading or this nice detailed reading, Clayton. You know, you give me lots of information. What action do I need to take to move forward? So at the end of every reading, for about 20 minutes, I read the runes. And the runes are like a little stone with a symbol on. And each symbol has a meaning. And when you read the symbols in a particular order that I put them in, it gives people actions that they need to take for the next 3 to 4 weeks, and then monthly actions and things for them to focus on. And it really, it helps people a great deal. And I get messages every day from people to say, you know, what you shared with me, everything came true. And, you know, and the actions, and I delayed the actions and it delayed the results, but everything came true. And so I incorporate this into my events. So I run 4 different types of events. There's one called a 48-hour negativity detox and rejuvenation. And so my preparation before that event is I go into the space, I create a sacred space, and I literally channel and connect with every single participant that's coming in, so that I make sure that their guides are in the room, that the messages I'm channeling through are the right for the people who are in the room. So whether there be 20 people in the room, 50 people in the room, 100 people in the room, there's a similar process that I go through. And I do the same. And when I do the level above that, is a 3-tier event, is aligning to your truth. And I actually do, on the Saturday evening on that event, I do a group reading. So we actually sit together and we channel through the guides, and, you know, and we actually do this group reading for everybody. And it's a fascinating experience. And then a new event, which I'm launching, is called Beyond Your Truth. And so people can actually, so there's almost like this journey that people can go on. And the final is the Magic Shop of Creation, which, imagine if you can go into a magic shop and walk out with anything that you've ever wanted to create. And so I teach people how to create in the moment. And all this is about you connecting with the divine energies that are around you. And there's a great quote by Rumi that says, what you seek is also seeking you. And all you have to do is align to it and receive it. So I love reading for people. It's a passion of mine. And I see transformations that take place all the time with people, just off the back of it. And I know that they're very powerful because I get lots of recommendations off the back of it, which is really, really beautiful.
When you get that confirmation, you know that what you're doing is right and proper, and, you know, for their highest good. So, you know, that's very affirming.
Yeah, it's something that I absolutely adore, and it's something that I would always do. And it's also something which I'm now going into the back end of this year, going into 2018, I am also going to start to teach people how to do as well. So I'm going to be setting up a school where people can actually come and learn how to do it for themselves and for others, because everybody can do it. They just need to know how to do it.
Great. Well, we're about halfway through the show, Clayton, so I want to take just a quick break, and want to invite listeners that if they would like to call in with any questions, they can. The number is 619-789-4359. And for those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions for Clayton, feel free to type them in. And then when we come back, Clayton, I understand that in the book, The Ego's Code, that you incorporate runes and power animals. So I kind of want to explore that when we come back, okay?
Of course, yeah, that would be fantastic.
Okay, great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Clayton John Ainger, and we are talking about his new book, The Ego's Code. And again, you can find out more by visiting his website, which is www.claytonjohnainger. And I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So, definitely go to his website and check it out. He's got lots of great information there. Okay, so with that, we're back. Clayton?
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Great. Okay, so like I said before the break, you incorporate the runes, which you mentioned, you know, which you do, but also power animals in the book. So tell us a little bit about, how the book is structured, you know, and those different components, as well as exercises, because you have some great exercises.
Thank you. For me, when I actually sat down to write the book, I wanted to make it user-friendly for people. So there's a number of ways in which people can use the book. They can read it from cover to cover, or they can literally open the book and dip in. And throughout the book, I talk a lot about the runes. I think there's about 8 runes in the book, and each rune is signified and there on purpose to help you to live a better life. So runes they're like a divination tool, and each rune has a symbol, as I said before, but it's also the message that comes with that. And it's like, you know, every month I send out a newsletter, and in that newsletter I have, you know, the 2 runes of the month, which is all about specific actions that you can take around the associated energies and thought process that actually comes from the runes. And it's the same with animal spirits. So, or power animals. Power animals are like guardian angels, and everybody has animal spirits that are with them. And one of the things I'm going to be putting on my website very soon is a free meditation which people can go and download, which is called the Power Animal Meditation, where they actually get to go and visit something called the World Tree, which is, from a shamanic perspective, is like consciousness. And the world tree is split into 3 levels. There's a lower world, which represents the divine ego self and is linked to the lower 3 energy centers. Then you have the middle world, which is the here and the now, which is linked to the heart center and the throat. And then you have the upper world, which is the divine centers, where you have the third eye, the crown, and the dream center at the back of the head, and the pineal gland in the middle of the brain. So there are power animals that will work with each of these levels. Now, outside of that, people may walk down the street and they may have a cat that will rub up against them, or they may have spiders over the front of their house, or they may have the same animal that appears to them on a daily basis or on a regular basis. So, for example, I was running an event in Glastonbury here in the UK, and this lady on the event came in on day 2 and said, "You're freaking me out." And I said, "What do you mean you're freaking you out?" And she said, "I literally took the same journey to the event every day, and the same deer sprung across the road, stopped in front of my car, looked at me, and then jumped away. And the deer, for her, represented gentleness, and she needed to be gentle and to be present with herself. So each of these animals, they will have a specific meaning. Now, what I do not recommend is, one of the dangers of working with animal guides is people can, they'll see an animal or they'll dream about an animal, and the first thing they'll do is they'll go onto Google and they'll Google it. I would not recommend that. What I would do is I would sit quietly in quiet contemplation or in meditation and connect with that animal and say, okay, you know, what is it I need to learn from you? Because when I am on my events, if say I've got 20 people in the room and we talk about spiders, and I say, okay, so what do spiders mean to you? Some people, you know, different people will say different things about what that means. Or if I said the ostrich, you know, different things would come up, or the elephant, different things would come up. So it's really important for you to understand what that means. And I put it into the book because there are certain animals that are associated with negativity and why things show up. So, for example, the fox. I talk in the book about the fox. And the fox energy is often associated with somebody who will sit in the shadows, experiencing a little bit of anxiety, doesn't like to be in the spotlight. But occasionally they will come out, they'll share some very powerful wisdom, because fox energy is very, very powerful, but then they'll go back into the shadows. I also talk about the big blue whale. The big blue whale is about expression of the voice, and I talk a lot in the book about the importance of expressing the voice, or finding ways to express the song in the heart. And one of the most powerful ways you can do that, and I'm vibrating just for the purpose of the call, just so you know, so I know this is important for listeners, is you can sit in quiet meditation, connect with the big blue whale, and say, take me where I need to go, show me what it is I need to learn about expressing my voice. And the blue whale has the largest voice in the physical earth plane world. It's such a powerful and beautiful sound that comes out. And so when you connect with that, it actually moves the energy from the heart to the throat and then out into the voice. And so everybody has animal guides that are with them, and they're very, very important. And whenever I read for people, animal guides always come up for people. And they're always very, and animal guides can be with them from a season, a reason, or a lifetime. So they may come in for a certain amount of time, a reason to help you right now, or they'll be with you for a lifetime. And they happen all the time. So just to let you know, my wife and I, we do the same walk every single day with the dog. And we'll go out and we'll let him off the lead and everything. And the other day we were literally walking and we saw a snake. And we've never, ever seen a snake where we live. Mm-hmm. And it literally walked across our path, swiveled it, and it stayed in front of us. And then it went off into the bushes. And the snake is all about shedding of the skin, shedding of the past, embracing the new transformation that is here. And it was confirmation that that is exactly what's going on in our life right now. There's so much change, there's so much transformation that's taking place, and it's okay to embrace it and not be afraid of it. And the snake is about shedding the skins of the old to embrace the new. We get them all the time coming up, and so that's why they're in the book.
Yeah. Well, just on a kind of a side note, one of my passions is nature photography. I love going out and taking pictures. Every day I do my little nature walk, and it is funny because I post on Facebook a lot of the pictures that I captured, but a couple of my friends have come to start calling me the Birdman or the Bird Whisperer, because for some reason, I'm able to really get great shots of birds. They seem to pose for me. I mean, two weeks ago, I was in, for business, I was in Mississippi, sat at a friend's house. She's a yoga teacher. She had me in, and she has these bird feeders right in front, and I just grabbed my camera, and probably not more than 2 minutes later, got an excellent picture of a hummingbird. She said she had been sitting there for at least 3 years trying to capture one, and she has a camera that is like, you know, it's like you have to work out to carry it. You know, it's one of those big, you know. But anyway, it was just one of those things where,
wow,
boom, that was there. And So, you know, as you were describing, talking about, you know, how, you know, I mean, it's not, and it's not a specific bird, but I mean, you know, as you were talking about, you know, what do, you know, what do they mean to you? Of course, my mind was immediately went to birds and what do they mean to me? And, you know, and so, I mean, it's, and it's interesting. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's just noticeable to me, you know, and it was kind of noticeable, you know, to my friends, but, you know, I love the things that we can learn from nature. You know, I mean, not only our animal friends, but also, you know, just nature in general.
And actually, this is a really, really important point that you raise, because animals in the wild, they don't have an ego, and they don't experience any negativity. And so they are literally operating from their natural instincts. And, you know, and so, you know, and in society, we can, as we grow up, we can get conditioned or punished for acting in accordance with our natural instincts. And, you know, part of our journey and our path is when we start to release the negativity. So what I say to people is that if you think about the energy it takes to put a rocket into space, that is the type of energy that we are holding in our lower three energy centers, which is all associated with negativity. And so as we start to talk about the negativity and give it a voice, the energy starts to transmute and to change as you start to move up through the body and out of the body. And then it actually, as it changes, it then changes into something where you can actually use it as a fuel for success. And so when we start to embrace our natural instincts, we start to do this naturally. And it's a very, very potent and powerful energy. And I love the fact that you've raised the hummingbird. Do you mind if I quickly share with you my interpretation of the hummingbird? Because it's very, very, it's
sure.
very powerful.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So there are 300 different species of hummingbird. And the powerful thing about the hummingbird is they represent the impossible. And so when the hummingbird, and I'm vibrating for the purposes, so this is very important again. So when you see a hummingbird, or the hummingbird comes to you, or you start to think about the hummingbird, then this is a really important message for you to start to realize that the impossible is possible. And so it's from a negativity perspective, start to catch those thoughts that if you're saying things, oh, I can't do this, or that's not possible, or this kind of thing, you can actually, you don't have to wait again for these animals to come to you. You can invite them in. So you can invite mm-hmm. the hummingbird in to say, okay, so I'm working with some things that I'm on the face of it, I'm feeling are impossible. Because if you look at the hummingbird, it's the smallest bird in the world. It's the only bird in the world that can actually fly backwards. And the speed in which it flies, it, you know, everything about it is impossible. But actually, and yet it exists. And so if the hummingbird is possible and connected to all that there is, then everything that we want to create must also be possible. And so it's a very, very powerful bird. And if you have captured that on camera, there's a resonation that takes place between you and the bird. And hummingbird, and I would recommend that you take some time privately for yourself and to connect with it, and maybe even the picture that you took if you had it, because it's very, 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 very powerful bird.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I'll do that. I just got my little my crown chakra just tingled as you were saying that. So okay, I'll do that. Thank you very much. And that was, you know, to me, you know, that was, it was, I mean, she was absolutely stunned, you know, because if she sat, I mean, that's like her little meditation spot every morning, you know, in watching birds, and she had all kinds of birds, you know, but there was that hummingbird feeder, but I mean, and it was just, of course, you know, how they dart in and out, I will definitely connect with that, and recognizing that everything is possible. So gosh, we're really like eating up our hour here, but I want, there's, I know, and this is great, I mean, that's a good sign for me, but there is one aspect of the ego's code, something that you cover in the book, the eight truths. Really kind of would like to touch on those eight truths, because I think you know, that's that's just a very important component of the book, and I think that's something that the readers would really, or the listeners would really like to learn a little bit about, and also to pick up the book and learn more.
Of course, absolutely. And When I put the book structure together, the first thing I want to do is actually start to raise people's awareness about what actually goes on spiritually and negatively. And the reason I want to start with that is this, is that whenever there is a problem, a challenge, or a rut in your life, if people write down the word rut, R-U-T, and if you put a T in front of the R and an H at the end, you get the word truth. And so whenever there is a rut or a problem in your life, it's because you're not honoring or living your truth. And so the book is structured into these parts. Part one is about raising awareness to what is going on and to acknowledge that. Part two is then starting to align to your truth and how to start to decipher your truth. And within that are the eight truths, which I'll go through. And then part three is about how you can go away and start to live your truth every single day. And truth one is about really knowing that you matter and taking time to get to know you. And the amount of times I've done this myself, and when I speak to people on a daily basis where we put ourselves second, third, fourth, or fifth, and we don't account or acknowledge our own voice or our own feelings. And so what this truth is about is it's the starting point of realizing that you matter in your world and that you are here for a reason. And so it's very important that you actually give yourself the gift of you and actually pause, look at you and notice you and actually see you and spend some time with you. And what I say to people is, well, why don't you go and ask your friends, you know, why they love to spend time with you? And when you do that, you then start to realize why they love to spend time with you. And then you actually start to see yourself through a different lens. Truth two is about all the answers that we seek lie within. And so this is all about listening carefully to you and actually hearing you. And so sometimes, and this is about hearing the negativity. This is about hearing what lies underneath that and asking yourself the question, you know, what is my truth in this situation? Because the divine self cannot lie to you. And so when you ask yourself the question, what is the truth? What is my truth in this situation? You will always get the answer, but listen carefully to you. You know, acknowledge, you know, your own needs and account for your own needs. Truth three is you have to go through the resistance. You know, you have to go into and you have to go through the resistance and make, you know, your life or negativity and your truth a way of being and a way of learning. And there's a great friend of mine, Dr. Joe Dispenza, who talks about you can evolve through pain and suffering, or you can evolve through joy and happiness. Which do you choose? And it's the same point here. You know, you can go through the resistance knowing that the divine will never give you anything that you cannot handle. Your guides are never going to give you anything you cannot handle. When you started this divine journey, you set up so that there's nothing that you cannot handle. And so you will be safe to go through the resistance, but you do have to go through it. You have to go into it and say, okay, why are these things happening? And I remember I was coaching a lady the other day, and she said, I know myself really, really well. I know all my great things, and I know those dark corners to avoid. And I said, okay, now it's time for you to go into those dark corners, because that's where the magic's going to happen. And so gradually we're creating the environment so she'll go into those corners. Truth four is a very important one, and I was only talking to my daughter about this the other day, is what is yours will come to you. So if you know that already, so if you know that there is a divine twin flame soulmate there for you, or you know that there is the right job there for you or the right career there for you, or you know that, you know, the wealth that you seek is there, whatever that thing is for you that you lack or that you worry about or your fear of not receiving, if you know that's going to come to you, how would you live your life? And so we have to let it go and know that it's there and know it's going to come, and we have to detach and feel the relief that knowing that it's already there. And I know how difficult that is. Believe me. And I say to people, go and buy yourself a boomerang and stand in a big field with a boomerang and hold on to the boomerang and say, this boomerang represents my twin flame soulmate, or this boomerang represents my divine job, and throw the boomerang. And know that as you throw the boomerang, you have to let it go. You have to detach from it and trust that it's going to come back to you. You know, so what is yours will come to you. Truth five is very much about speaking highly of yourself. And as you do, things will naturally start to change. Language has energy and it has power. And every time you speak badly of yourself, you're taking that big stick and you're whacking yourself around the head with it. In fact, that 2x4 that you mentioned earlier. And sometimes I will shock clients and say, look, you know, if you saw a 3 or 4 year old in front of you, would you whack them with a stick? And they say, no. And I say, well, why do you do that yourself?
Yeah.
And, you know, and my wife talks about, and I love the language pattern that she uses, pull yourself into your common sense corner and have a conversation with yourself. How many times do you stand in front of a mirror and say, oh, you put on a few pounds? Oh, a few kilos have gone on there. Well, you're looking a little bit gray there. Well, actually, how about you, rather than saying that, you know, you pull yourself into the common sense corner and say, okay, enough is enough. Those 10 bars of chocolate, which I used to eat, you know, stop it. We now need to make some changes. And then you start to put a plan in place and you work through those plans and realize that yourself where you are right now has served you up to this point, but it may not be the self that you want to have in the future. But account and acknowledge how well that has taken care of you. Truth six is all about your environment. Does your environment enable you to flourish or falter? Your life conditions and the environments in which you operate will contribute to your success or they will hinder your success. And so I invite people who are listening to sit down and look at, one, their physical environment and say, you know, how does that enable me to thrive or flourish? Look at the people who you spend your time with and say, you know, do these people rise me up or help me to rise up? Or are they naysayers that every time I suggest something, they shoot it down? And if they do, make some changes. You know, you don't have to lower your vibration to do something because you think you should do to please that somebody else. You can invite them up to your way of thinking. And I say to people, you know, when you act for your highest good, you're automatically acting for somebody else's highest good. If they don't like it, that's part of their journey. But don't lower your standards to because you think you should do or to please somebody else. Truth seven is the more you love your life, the more your life will love you. So set yourself out, you know, look at your life and really express, you know, love and joy about the things that you love. And love the things that you don't love. Say, okay, I need to change that. You know, what can I do to change that? And get excited about that and notice the negativity that comes up, because when the negativity comes up, get excited about it. Love the negativity. Fall in love with your ego. And as you do, what's actually happening inside your physical body is your neurology is changing. We haven't gone into neuroscience, but you're actually literally unwiring and rewiring the brain and the neurology in your body. And you're sending out a new frequency and signal, and I talk all about this in my book, out into the divine. The divine then brings to you the things that you seek. But you have to love your life to do that. And then truth eight, there is always an opportunity for kindness. You know, love you completely and unconditionally, and love others completely and unconditionally. And if there are people in your life who are those naysayers, or they're not treating you well, you can still love the person, you just don't have to love the behavior. You can still love you and maybe not love your own behavior. You know, so just find ways in which to be kind to yourself and acknowledge those great things in your life. Even if you are immersed in the chaos of negativity, there will always be one thing in your life, that shed of light somewhere, which you can actually hang on to and start to pull yourself towards that light. So there's a whirlwind tour through the eight truths, but I do go into them in a lot of depth in my book.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that, you know, and those, that's exactly what I wanted to get, you know, make sure we got into the show, because, you know, that along with the exercises that you provide, you know, that's, I know for me, I think that it's one of the best aspects of learning something new is being able to apply it to your life. And yeah. if you can provide an exercise, because sometimes, you know, for some people, it's a little difficult to make that translation from knowledge to action. And, you know, if you have an exercise that you can do, that makes it just so much easier.
It really does, which is why, you know, for that exact reason, which is why I put the 16 exercises in the book. Some are short and quick and easy, and some require a little bit of contemplation. And for those people, you know, I would love people to go and buy my book. It is available in paperback. It's available. This week it'll be available on audio book as well. There's an audio book that will be going out onto iTunes and onto Amazon. And it's available as an ebook. But my invitation for people is to do exercise 4 in the book. You know, what do you see? And that's when big transformation starts to take place.
Great. Well, Clayton, I really want to thank you for your time today. I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so, so grateful that you had me on your show. And it's been a real, real pleasure. And I've loved it, every second of it. And I hope you can hear that, you know, in my voice. And so thank you. Thank you. I really do appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Clayton John Anger, and we have been talking about his new book, The Ego's Code. And again, you can find out more about that, as well as other information like his blog, newsletter archive, diary, all of that by visiting his website, which is www.claytonjohnanger.com. And again, there is a direct link to his website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.